Ephesians chapter 5, we are working our way through verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. You're in the practical section. The first sections are very doctrinal. They are tremendous truths that tell us about our relationship with God. The whole book is on our relationship with God, but it really defines how we're related to Him, how we got saved, what it is that God did to save us, what it is now that we're learning about is holy living. Chapter 5 is all about not just living as a Christian, but living as a Spirit-filled Christian, which is the greatest challenge of all. You know, it's possible to be married and not live like it, amen? It's possible for somebody to be hired by a football team and them not live like it. They can actually still be staying up all hours in the night, not being on any kind of discipline or routine, not training, and fail as a football player, correct? And so it's possible to be a Christian and not be a success. And the key to success in the Christian life is the Holy Spirit in you. So, let's talk about the Holy Spirit in us and get the first word in that. Holy. So when something holy comes in you, guess what ought to be coming out of you? A holy kind of life. Now, not kind of life where you're living like we talked about, living in a beehive hut somewhere, and you know you live where you never have contact with humans, and you're terrified of doing anything that you might sin. No. There's a way to live holy without actually having to leave this planet. Amen. And so this is what chapters 5 is all about. It's called a walk. Now we've come down to chapter 5. We started there in verse 18. And we learned a lot about walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is a constant filling. As a matter of fact, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. But before it actually ever tells us to do something positively, you know what it tells us? You know the Bible's written against us. The Bible commands us to stop doing something else. It says, don't be drunk, amen? Don't pick up a bottle. Don't pick up a jar. Don't pick up something that has a head on it, amen? Because the Bible says, look not on that cup when it looks right. It just, this is attraction, that thing. Because in the end, it bites like a what? Like an adder. If only we could see the end result of our decisions, it would scare us, amen? I think there was a song there a couple of years back by, what's his name, one of those country and western singers. He said, thank God for unanswered prayers. And he was singing about some relationship. He was glad he didn't get married to some woman. He says, I'm glad I didn't, amen? If only we could always see where our decisions might lead up to, we'd go, boy, I don't want to make that decision. If only you could see how that first drink might lead you to, amen? The Bible says, be not drunk with wine. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It's a commandment. You say, well, I don't get drunk. You're a liar. Because the first time you picked up that drug, that alcohol, just like smoking, the first time you smoked, you nearly died and turned green and choked, and you were killing yourself, and you had to keep smoking in order to make yourself so that you acted normal. Remember that? And the first time you took that jar of Guinness, the first time you took your Bud Dumber, and you acted the man, and you began to drink, you see a woman trying to act the man with the drink as well, and you start taking that thing, and you all of a sudden you feel tipsy, you go, I'm okay, I'm okay. You got drunk. Amen? Say, well, I don't get drunk now. You know, you had to violate the Scripture to get to where you can now handle 3 or 4 or 5 beers. The rule is, don't even start. Amen? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is always excess, but be filled with the Spirit. There's a lot of confusion about being filled with the Spirit. People think that one of the signs that you're filled with the Spirit is that you begin to perform. Sometimes they talk about being able to heal. Some people actually think they should be able to walk on water. You know, you can only drown once. Don't try it unless you really got the gift. Amen. To be filled with the Spirit, we're going to talk about it in just a few minutes. Just remind us about the signs that you are filled with the Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, one of the greatest revelations is you'll be just like Him. Amen. That's the proof of the filling of the Spirit. But let's talk about this. Every believer is given the gift of the Holy Spirit the moment they got saved. Yes or no? You better believe it. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit, so you can't lose it. Thank God He sealed you. He's going to redeem you. Done deal. Praise God. Amen. Every believer is given the gift, but a Christian gets... The moment they get saved, they are baptized into the body of Christ. This thing called the body of Christ on this earth now is us. And we are placed into the body of Christ, but on a moment-by-moment basis, the Holy Spirit wants to be filling me. And one of them, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, is the same thing. Some people have confused it, but let me just say this. The filling of the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, is not a feeling. It is a surrender. Barry, if you go over there and unplug that thing, because it's going to get mighty warm in here in just a minute. Without going over all of the things like this, the filling, you just unplug that thing there. The filling of the Holy Spirit is a surrender. It is not a feeling. As a matter of fact, if you go to Acts chapter 4, you don't go there yet. Just give me just 2 seconds to clear up this thing. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples prayed. They didn't pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They didn't beg God for the Holy for the filling of the Holy Spirit. You know what they prayed for? They prayed for courage. So they would stand and speak in a time when it was deadly to stand up as a Christian. They were killing Christians. It was only a few days earlier they had killed their Messiah. So here they are, they're praying, God, give us courage. And it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they stood up and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. They weren't praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. They were praying for courage, and the Holy Spirit filled them so they could be courageous, so they could take a stand. Now, the command is that we need to be filled with the Spirit. The concept, and I talked to you a couple weeks ago about being filled, is if you're filled with something, you're consumed by it. You're controlled by it. If you got filled up with drink, would you be the same Paul Aiton that I know right now? No way. It would take over. That's why they call it intoxicating when you drink. Amen? It changes you. That's why they talk about it that you're under the influence. Amen? And if you're caught driving while you got enough alcohol, just a tiny bit over the limit, they put 4 points or how many points on your license now, thankfully, amen? Because you're under the control of something. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you tell me whether you'll be the same Paul that I know. Amen. Which one do you want to be? Filled with alcohol, filled with drugs, filled with pornography. You get into that stuff and it consumes you, amen? You can't dabble with pornography and it not burn you, amen? You can't dabble in a bit of drugs without it burning out brain cells that will never replace themselves. And you cannot dabble in drink without it ruining you. And believe me, you cannot dabble in the Holy Spirit without Him wanting to consume you, amen? And change you. So we're talking about being filled means to be overwhelmed. You're not just topped up. But you know, Jesus actually said it to the woman of the well. He said, if you ask of me the water that I can give, I'll not give you a drink, I'll give you a well springing up and overflowing. Amen? Aren't you glad the Lord knows how to give? So, our old life, our flesh is totally filled with the devil. Amen? Amen? And if you don't think you're filled with the devil, ask your wife. If you don't think you're filled with the devil, ask your husband. Ask your kids. Your old life, when you just get stuck on yourself and doing your own way, and you're just consumed with selfishness, you're the devil incarnate, man. Because your old flesh is filled with evil, and we know that. Romans chapter 8, verse 8 says this, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. So I got to have something else helping me. His name is the Holy Spirit. The goal of the Christian should be to become full of all the fullness of God. Now, I've never been there. I think it's impossible to be there. But I sure want to try, amen? Full of all spiritual fruits. Hey, there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, aren't there, amen? I don't think the Lord wants me to just love a little. I think He wants me to be full of love. He wants me to know what it means to be full of joy. Be full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering. The goal of the Christian should be to
to become full of knowing God's will. I don't want to just guess at it. I want to be fully confident of it and full of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, Jesus was filled without measure. And think about living like He did. I mean, it didn't bother Him one day. Nothing came up to Him. And when He went, why didn't it work? You know, what's wrong? I mean, if anybody could have gotten upset, it would have been the Lord, amen? Because nothing was like what it was in heaven, amen? So, full of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we talked very briefly about how to get filled and stay filled. And there are three points I'm making, and I'm going to get to the last point tonight. The first one is, if you want to be filled, you do need to pursue it. You do need to want it. You do need to seek it. You need to seek something like people... If any of you are saved and you used to be addicted to alcohol or addicted to drugs or whatever, you knew how you lived. You just, when it got into your head, you couldn't stop until you got that pint. You sought after it. You know, I wish, if you're not dead today, now look at me, those of you who used to drink, if you're not dead today, the Lord wants you to learn from that mess in your past and learn how much passion you used to have for drink you ought to have for God. Amen. However much money you used to put down on that bar and put into that filthy barman's hands, you ought to be putting into the Lord's work. Amen. You think about it. That's the goal, is to pursue it and seek to be filled like seeking the drink that you had to have before you got saved. Now, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to need to do some purging. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, we're coming back to Ephesians, but look at 1 John chapter 3. Purging. We're just going to run down the last verse. We're just going to look at the last list. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, take a good look at what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, think about it, the sons of God. How do we get to this place where He calls us family? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. All I know is we're all going to be better looking. Amen. Doesn't yet appear. You have never yet met anybody who is perfect. Amen. Some, as Brother Dennis would say, some of us are nearly perfect. But we haven't met anybody yet what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, and He's coming back very soon, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Verse 3 is the point. And every man that hath this hope in Him, hey, purifieth himself even as He, Jesus, is pure. Who's in charge of cleaning up your life if you've got a whole bunch of filth in it? Amen? You are. You know, when you got saved, you got magazines there hidden underneath your bed. You've got TV channels that you don't want to get rid of. You don't want to restrict, and you don't want to stop and just back away from the control of that television. You've got just some sins in your life. You know, the moment you got saved, those things didn't just dissolve. You need to go and lift up that mattress and pull out those magazines and burn them. Amen. You need to do some purging of your life. Now, He purged your record in heaven. But you know, and you probably know some Christians who can't get the victory over some sin because they still have it within reach. Amen? So we talk about purging. We talked about a cup. Poor example here. I don't have a cup here. But if I want to fill that up with water, if it's already filled up with milk, I can keep pouring water in it. It mixes a little bit, but it doesn't get filled with the water. Amen? And what I need to do, and I'm not going to do it, but what I need to do is dump out the water, don't I? Amen? And then I put the milk in. I prefer coffee, by the way. That's what the Lord's saying. You know what? You need to look in your life and do an inventory. And many a man, as it used to be, when they were getting married, and they're getting ready to marry the sweetheart of their life, you know what they did? They started cleaning up their act for a little while. Amen? If the house that they were living in, there was the place that woman was going to move into, I guarantee you, he tried to clean up that place, didn't he? Amen? Now, he knew spot on, and he said, she's going to do a much better job than I. And you believe this. You know, the Lord will help you. The Lord's not asking you to become perfect. He is asking you to take some stuff and just flush it. Amen. Just start dumping it out of your life, saying, I don't want to ever touch that thing again. And God will honor that. And the Holy Spirit will come in there like a good wife and come in there and says, listen, you did a pretty good job, but let me finish the job. Let me make it shine. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ comes and just cleans you all out. But it takes you wanting to let go. Plenty of man's like the monkey with his hand in the cookie jar. They did this. Monkeys, evolution is partially true, amen. We are related in greed, amen. They did this thing and they put this monkey, bunch of monkeys in there, and they had a chocolate chip cookie jar in the middle of the room. And I don't know, monkeys seem to love chocolate chip cookies. And that monkey stuck his hand in that thing there to grab that chocolate chip cookie, and his hand wouldn't come out. So that monkey started screaming, man. It's jumping all around. And you think, just let go of the cookie. But he wasn't going to let go of that cookie, amen? And so that thing's just having a conniption fit, just going loopy. A lot of people are sitting there screaming and they're just, life's awful, life's wicked, life's no good, I just hate my life. Let go of the cookie, amen? Let go of that stupid beer. Amen? Let go of that thing that has ruined your life all these years. Just let it go. Amen? And you'll be free. So purge out is what we're talking about. We talked about the cup. Purging is the removal of anything that takes the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. You say, man, I just got to unwind at the end of the day. I need to take the edge off of my day. Then you ought to pray. Amen? You ought to sing praises unto God. If you're turning to a bottle of pills in order to take the edge off. If you're constantly turning to pills, you know what's going to happen? You're going to need more of them. And more of them. And more of them. Amen? You know what the Holy Spirit is called? Listen to these words. The Comforter. How many of you like to go to sleep in comfort? That doesn't mean that you sometimes don't need the drugs. Man, when you turn to them, when you ought to be turning to the Holy Spirit, I tell you what, if you're having to lean on drugs in order to cope right now, I'd be praying real hard so I can be free from the drugs, ultimately. Amen. This is the hardest part of the process because we've gotten used to ourselves. Well, this is the way I am. Well, it may be, but that's not the way God wants you. Now, let's go to our third point. Third point. If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there are three things you need to do. You need to pursue it. You need to purge some things in your life. And thirdly, you need to practice. There's a fourfold routine for the Christian here. Yeah, back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Is there a full stop at the end of verse 18?
No.
So the verse should continue. You should keep reading. He says, all right, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now is the full stop. Amen. All right, what you just saw were four things that every one of us, I think it's four things, that every one of us need to work on in order to be walking in the Spirit. Let's look at the first one. The first one's really powerful. Just speaking. It says, use your mouth for right. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, verse 19 says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. Just think for a second. Go to Job. I'm going to take you to some cross references. We're probably not going to finish everything tonight. You know what we do when we don't finish, don't you? We come back next week, amen? Go to Job chapter 6 and find Proverbs chapter 12. With your left hand, Job. In your right hand, the book of Proverbs. Job chapter 6. In verse 25, and then Proverbs chapter 12. Job chapter 6, verse 25. Dr. Paul, would you read that aloud, please, for me, real loud, 6:25.
Um, says for no for
25.
Is that foreseeable?
Are you in Job?
Yes, 6.
6:25. How forcible?
How forcible of great wars, yeah. But what does your arguing prove?
Isn't it good just when somebody's talking to you and they say the right words? And how powerful are right words? You know, the Bible does talk about, you know, when you say something in season and it's the right thing to say, it's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. It's just, you want to hang it anywhere. Go to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. Proverbs 12 and verse 18. All right, Gina, would you read that one? Now, which kind of tongue do you want to hear? Yeah, one of them that cuts you to pieces, or the one that actually heals and benefits you? All right. We're talking about right kind of speech. Well, let me say this. If you're writing these things down, you ought to write them. If I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I'm going to have to force myself to start saying things that Jesus would say. Not what you want to say. Oh, if I had the chance, I would give them a piece of my mind. Don't you dare. You may need to tell them what's on your heart, but you better say it like Jesus would. You better use right words. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Got your Bible here tonight. Going to get some Bible study. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. We already read that, sorry. Go to Luke chapter 4 and verse 22. Luke 4 and verse 22. Let's see, Bill, if you don't mind.
After all, they are good witness and wonders and gracious word which you have received out of this mouth. They said it is not this.
Speaking of Jesus. Jesus is just reading the scriptures and he's expounding on them. And they said, listen to the gracious words that just proceeded out of his mouth. Amen. There's something about having the right kind of speech. What you need to do is you need to control what you say. In other words, show great care about what comes out of your mouth. Go to Colossians chapter 4, to the right. Colossians chapter 4. And let's see, Marcus, please. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6.
May your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt.
Most of us only speak with salt with a little bit of grace here and there. Isn't that true? We know how to just make people hurt. Oh, but then we're nice sometimes. Turn it around. There are times when you do need to be a little salty.
Salt is tasty.
No. If you've ever had a wound and you pour salt in it, you hurt. And while it's cleaning, by the way. But have your speech always full of grace. Go to verse 8. Still in chapter 3. In verse 8, Joshua.
But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth.
All right, would you agree that now that a person say they have a different vocabulary, they can't say damn this and damn that. Amen? It's off limits. Now that I'm saved, I wouldn't want anybody to go to hell. Amen? So, your vocabulary changes when you get saved. You know what? We're not to speak as we used to. Just like we're not to live as we used to. The first thing I'm going to say is this. It says, if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, I need to start working on my mouth and making myself say nice things. Amen? Amen? You know, if you got a dog that's out of control, if you want to keep that dog, you know what you need to do? Train it to be good. Amen? You can't change it from a dog into a cat, thank the Lord. But you can make it behave. Amen? And you can make your mouth say right things. Amen? if you want to be filled with the Spirit, start with the mouth. Why? Anybody want to take a guess? Why the mouth first? It actually, we use our mouth all day long. We'll rarely use our fist. And our mouth will cut. But that's a very good reason. But there's another very powerful reason why the mouth is made mention of first. Speaking. Yes, sir? If you can control the mouth, you can control the whole body. That's James. If you can get this thing under control, it's like taking a huge ship and then guiding that little rudder. If you have control of that rudder, you can guide that whole ship. What were you going to say? And the third reason would be because it's telling you what's in the heart. And if you're still struggling with that mouth, what is that going to tell you about your heart? It still hasn't been really adequately worked on by the Holy Spirit, and you need to spend more time in the book. So, since our heart has been changed, our reasons for speaking have been changed. Amen? You know, before you got saved, and even after you got saved, you didn't really know just how good God is. You know, you'd really get discouraged. But you know what I found out? Everything's going to come out fine. Amen? It removes frustration real quick. So I don't have to be so frustrated with my mouth. The first thing he says is speaking to yourselves, and then he gives us what to speak. But I want you to understand that you need to control your mouth. You need to start honoring people with your words, edifying them. Does not our Bible say that we should only edify one another? Amen? Now sometimes that does need a rebuke. But we rebuke how? With love. I think our parents, all of our parents, how many of you had a mom who said, you got 2 ears and 1 mouth, use your ears more than your mouth? It's true. You ought to listen twice as much as you talk. If you get this thing under control where you're not just so quick on the draw to constantly be able to cut back at somebody, you'll be able to be filled with the Spirit. Say things that bless people. Don't say how you feel. Amen? Aren't you? I mean, how would you like it if everybody came to church and you just, man, I just feel like... And if everybody just started doing that, we'd kill each other, wouldn't we? Amen? Be careful about that. The first thing in control is your tongue. Practice speaking only right words, clean words, encouraging words. Second thing, singing. Back there in Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, you can't help if you start speaking right. And if you start, and I really, really, let me take it to another verse before you go there, because it's really powerful. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Go to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Josh, did you read? Yeah, you did. Barry, would you read chapter 1 and verse 8 of Joshua? They're in your Old Testament.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe through upon to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
And most of the time we think, I need to keep the Bible in front of my eyes. But it didn't stop there. It says, where should the Bible be? In your mouth. Now how does that Bible fit in my mouth? I'm not talking about eating it, is he? What is he saying? I need to have read it, thought about it, memorized it, so I can speak it. That made Joshua a great man. It made him a successful man. Now, look at what he says here. Back there at Ephesians chapter 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You know what that book will do to you? It'll clean you up where you want to sing. And I really believe it's very important to sing as a Christian. Notice how the world has hijacked the Christian's heart and mind. Everywhere you go, there is music going on and songs that just plague us so that we don't have a sane moment when you're out. I always complain. We go into Super Value. They keep turning up that music. We'll go in on Sunday night to go grab us milk or whatever, and the music is blaring. Not to mention the fact that the magazine rack is filled with filth. But you're just sitting there and the music is blaring out of your mouth. How do you sit in here? Oh, we get used to it. You know, it's just the world has to have that noise in the background. A Christian needs to have something better than noise. You need to have music feeding your attitude so that you can be full with the Spirit. You need to replace filth in your mind with godliness. I use this as an illustration, all right? Your mind, this is not the nice thing to say, but your mind is like a toilet paper roll, all right? And before I got saved, stuff was going inside of my head and your head, and it just would come in there, and I just soaked it in like a sponge, amen? And you wonder, how am I going to get that stuff out? It's just stuck in there, amen? Somebody would say something, and all of a sudden the words to a song would come back through my head that I didn't want to remember. Just like you see something, all of a sudden images you've seen years before come back into your head. What do you do to get rid of that junk in your head? You know what you do? I don't have any more paper here. Here I do. You know what you do? You start taking the Word of God, and you start taking music, godly Christian music, and you start shoving it in there, and there's a little competition. Amen? And you put some more singing in there. You take a hymnal home, and you start learning those hymns, and you start singing. All of a sudden, oh, look at that. You keep shoving in good music. You keep shoving in good thoughts. And you know what? You probably may not be able to remember the stuff that you were listening to 20 years ago. Praise God. Amen? Amen. And you need music to do that. You need the Word of God to do that. We've got tapes up here, CDs. How many of you remember Brother Buddy Blunkhall? How many of you remember him? I mean, wasn't that music just transforming? We still got CDs. We got CDs from Sharon's Bible College. And I'm telling you, if you don't, I'm not telling you this is the only kind of music to listen to. But I will say this, that if you're still listening to 96 FM and you're still listening to the country and western and you're still listening to Michael Jackson and Britney Spears and all that stuff, there is almost no way to be filled with the Spirit during your day, man. I don't know how you could be, because they are not of the same Spirit. So get you some godly music. I can't stock everything, but I try to stock some basic stuff so that you take that thing in your car, you take that thing at home, you play that in the mornings when you're waked up and you're getting your coffee, and I tell you what, the Holy Spirit just moves in there, man, and just fills you, and you don't even know it because you're thinking right thoughts. You're praising God. Very practical stuff. Sing, man. Moses sang a song of praise after Exodus when they came out of the Red Sea. Remember they got on that other side? Moses broke into a song, man. Exodus chapter 15. As soon as he finished, Miriam, his older sister, she started singing. Deborah, now this is great. How many remember a guy named Jael? Jael was an evil tyrant of a king who tried to control Israel. And he was pretty effective at it there in the book of Judges. And Deborah was a prophetess who prophesied that a great battle was about to be won. It was supposed to be won by the general, but he was too timid. So he says, it's going to be won by a woman. Now Jael is running for his life, and he comes into this woman's tent. Now you got to give this woman is an incredible woman. She knows who he is, and this guy comes in because he's being chased by the Israelites. He says, hide me. And she says, hide under this blanket here. And he's like, man, am I thirsty. And she says, let me get you some milk. Warm milk. You know what? When I was a kid and I couldn't sleep, guess what my mom gave me to drink? Warm milk. Still works today. Gave that man warm milk, fast asleep. She went outside. God bless this spirit-filled woman. She went outside and pulled up a tent stake. Grabbed her a hammer. That man's laying there. She tilts his head just right, lays it right into his temple, and shall I tell you the rest of the story? No. She nails him, amen? It's the Word. And you know what? Man, they break out into singing. It's a great victory. What do they sing when there's victory with the Irish? Ole, 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 ole. You know, it's the only thing they know how to sing. I don't know what. But you know, we got some things to think about. Sing about, amen, don't we? If you're saved, there's some things to sing about. King David, he played the harp. He loved to sing. The Psalms are his songs that he wrote. You know, the Lord, on this most somber, the most serious day of his life, the night he was betrayed, you know what, after Lord's Supper, you know what he did? He sang with his disciples. He sang. There is a very valuable thing about learning to sing. I found this. Can I tell on you Irish for a minute? Most Irish feel they can't sing. And so it keeps us quiet. And I don't care whether you can or can't. God says sing. Amen? It's just wonderful. You don't know how you sounded tonight. You know how you sound on Sunday morning. Some of you are timid. You don't realize, man, it sounds good. Might as well join them. We'll drown you out, amen, if we have to. I think this place ought to rattle with God's people singing. And it ought to rattle with you all week long. Sing. You ought to sing in the car, sing at home, sing in the shower, sing while you're washing dishes, sing while you're mowing the grass. Sing, man. And you know what? That's just the Holy Spirit will just come in there when you're singing praises to God. I've heard some modern Christian music I have no time for, because you can't tell if the guy's singing about God or about his girlfriend. I'm real careful. I like to make sure I'm worshiping the right guy. Amen? Am I singing? Third thing, thanking. Look at verse 20. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, still going on, same sentence. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanking God. What was the reason why God sent the serpents to the Israelites in the wilderness? I'll give you one guess. Unthankfulness. And what is the word that we say when somebody's unthankful? What is the word?
Ungrateful.
It's ungrateful, but what are they doing?
Complaining.
They're complaining. God said, you know what? I put up with your complaining 10 times, and in come fiery serpents, and they start dying. As a matter of fact, 23,000 die in one day. You know, if I knew how serious God took my bad attitude, I'd fix my attitude. Thankfulness. Always, at all times. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. When was the last time you thanked God for all things? For all things. Look at Colossians chapter 2. You're in Ephesians, go to the right. Go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Look at the last part, the best part. Abounding therein with thanksgiving, man. A thankfulness. Do you know, thankfulness is the key to getting answers to prayer. Go back to one page. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's see. Brother Kevin O'Keefe, please. All right, Brother Kevin, if I start to make a cake and I've got flour and I've got salt and I've got milk. You may not know how to cook either, but let's guess. Let's try it together. Amen. And I put a little yeast in there. And I put sugar in there. And then I mix it together. And I'm saying, boy, Nia's going to be so proud of me. I'm making a cake, you know. Pop it in the oven. And I missed one ingredient. Anybody know what the ingredient was that I missed?
Eggs.
What else?
You didn't light the oven.
I did. Now he's saying the mechanics of it. But the ingredient was, yeah, I just shoved it in the oven and didn't light it. But no, I forgot the eggs. If I miss one ingredient, will it ever turn out? No. Do you know, most of us pray and we forget to say, Dear Lord, I just want to thank You. I don't want to complain. This situation I'm praying about is a burden on my heart. It's a need that I have. But I want to thank you that you're there. I want to thank you that you listen and that you bow down unto the likes of me. I want to thank you that you saved me. I want to thank you that right now, Lord, you want to answer this prayer. And I just want to be right with you so that you will answer this prayer. But I want to thank you for loving me. I want to thank you for loving my family. You know what you're doing? You're applying the keys to getting answers to prayer. Well, man, I give God, I list everything and I get nothing. Do you ever just stop and just praise Him and thank Him for being God? It's a great ingredient of prayer. Thanking. That's, you need to practice being thankful. Now look. If I was going to take Brother Joseph here. Joseph, we're going to train you to be in boxing. Alright, you ready? Alright, you ready? One, two. Alright. You're going to have to practice a routine. You're going to have to learn, and your coach is going to say, keep your hands up. Practice boxing, keeping your hands up. Practice your feet, always in motion. You know what you're going to see? You know what you're going to see him in the morning? If he's going to be in training for boxing, you know what he's going to do? He's going to wake up, stand in front of the mirror, and go, nobody's there, but he's going to be practicing. Move my feet, keep my hands up, nod my head back and forth. And he's every time you see him, he's just practicing, you know? And what is he doing? He's practicing so that when he is in the ring, it's second nature. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as a Christian, if I'm going to let the whole... Say it this way. How easy is it for me to live in my old nature? It's automatic. I don't have to think about it. And it's automatic if I were to send Joshua into a boxing ring. Alright, he put on this boxing outfit yesterday and I went, boy, it'd be funny if he actually got in with the ring with somebody. They just floor him. He knows nothing about what to do to survive in a boxing ring. Alright? If he was going to survive, he'd take a lot of training, wouldn't he? A lot of practicing. If you're going to learn to walk in the Spirit, you need to practice at controlling your tongue, limiting your vocabulary. As a matter of fact, what does the Bible say about a fool? A fool is counted as wise when he doesn't talk. Amen? Speak the right things. Sing. Be thankful. And if I just would learn like a boxer in training, if I would just learn to everywhere I go, man, you just don't know how thankful I am. You're my friend. I'm just thankful for everything you do for me. If I just got into practice, you know how people would like me if I blessed them that way? If I just use every situation to be thankful. Amen? Thinking. Especially God. What are you thankful for? I give you 10 seconds. I want you to list in your head 5 things you're thankful for. Go on. Think about it. See if you can come up with 5 things real quick. What are you thankful for? And not just your food. Amen? What are you thankful for? I'm thankful I'm saved. Amen? I'm thankful for the grace of God that He would look down at a sinner like me and says, He's worth everything. I'll go and die for him so he can go and live for me. Who else got thankful for something? Quickly. You're thankful for family. Amen. Who else? Raise your hand. Yes, ma'am.
The Word of God.
Thankful for the Word of God. Yes, sir. You got a home. Amen. What else? There are a lot of people on this planet who haven't got a place to live. Yes, ma'am. Thankful for your family. Somebody else. What are you thankful for? Brother. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us constantly from all sin. Somebody else, would you say?
Brothers and sisters.
Family in the church, amen. Who else? Yes, Marlene?
My husband and my son. And my husband.
That's okay. All right. Anybody else? One more. Who else?
My home in heaven.
Your home in heaven. Amen. Amen.
My salvation.
Your salvation. Praise God. You know, it ought to be just second nature for people to be able to just say, yeah, I've been thinking about all the good things. You know, everything that God gave me is good, amen? Everything the devil gave me, I don't want to remember. And yet you'll probably remember all the bad. Spend some time focusing on the good. Be thankful. And then the last most dreaded word of them all. Now notice the sequence here. And I'm going to stop with this. We're not going to actually talk about it. I'll scare you and then I'll leave you. Says, be not drunk with wine or in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing. Is that positive, yes or no? Singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. Is that positive or negative? Positive, amen. Look down in verse 21 there in Ephesians again. Back to the left, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, how do most people feel about that word, positive or negative? Negative, because it's hard. But I guarantee you, every one of them are hard. Amen? But every one of them is good. Now, this thing of submitting, and I just want to start this thing, and then we'll come back to it next week. Submission basically means yielding, getting out of the driver's seat, and letting God direct your life through His commands and through the authorities that He's placed in your life. Let me say it this way. You know, God does not speak from heaven. Amen? He does not. Do you know who? God speaks into your life through two or three different ways. Somebody tell me one of the ways He clearly speaks into your life. Through the Word of God. Is there another way that the Holy Spirit can speak into your life? Yes, ma'am?
Praising Him.
Well, that's actually you praising and actually getting filled with the Spirit. But how could God speak to somebody? Yes, ma'am? Huh? Authority.
Oh, most of my authorities are unsaved.
So God only uses saved authorities in your life to speak to you? You learn this truth, it'll revolutionize your life. He uses authority, even unsaved and ungodly authority, to speak into your life. And when you reject authority, guess who you're rejecting? You're rejecting God. We're talking this year about bowing the knee. And bowing the knee is all about coming under and resting in God's place of protection and peace instead of trying to handle our enemies ourselves. Clear instructions. Let me show you some scriptures. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 9, you got a young lady named Hagar who has just been kicked out of the house because she's pregnant with Abraham's child. And Sarah's had one of those moments where she just gets furious and she throws out Hagar. You know what God says to Hagar? Go back in there and, what's the word? Submit. 1 Chronicles 29:24, and all the princes and the mighty men and the sons likewise of King David, when King David leaned back on his bedstead and he said, Solomon my son shall reign in my stead. There's a big potential battle going on. Another guy was trying to take over the kingdom, and he says, Solomon shall be king. You know what happened? The whole country, as soon as David spoke, they said, the king has spoken, we will now honor Solomon as king. They all submitted. You know, it makes for a safe kingdom when everybody just follows authority. Amen? Romans 10 verse 3, speaking of Israel. The reason why Israel as a nation is lost right now is because they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they want to have their own way to heaven, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They're rebellious. You know why your mother or your family or somebody in your family is not saved? They won't submit to the righteousness of God which is in Christ Jesus. Authority. That book tells me how to get saved. Then that's how I got to get saved. Amen? Ephesians 5:21, we're submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. We're going to learn about that. Wives, submit yourselves unto not another woman's husband. Oh, I'll do what he says because he's my boss. I get paid for it. No, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Boy, guys like that one.
Oh, yes. As unto the Lord now.
Watch it. We talked about that this morning. Ephesians 5:24, therefore, as the church is, here's your subject, subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. 1 Timothy 2:11-12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, speaking about church, speaking it with authority, being able to preach. I know there's some women who probably can preach 10 times better than a lot of men I've heard. That doesn't give them the right to violate the Scripture, amen? You know, the clear instructions. Anybody, is that confusing? Is it Greek to you? It's pretty clear, amen? Talks about different people coming under authority. How about Colossians 3:18? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, you don't do everything he says. Things that he says that are not scriptural or against the Bible, just tell him, forget it. But man, if he tells you, mow the grass? No, don't. There's no verse in there that says, thou shalt not mow the grass of your woman. No, don't tell her to do that. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You know, I didn't just pick the, I didn't pick these out hand by hand. I just went through and I looked up submit and be subject, and they come out like this. Hebrews 13:7, obey them to have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. Who's he speaking of? Pastor. As they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The moment that you say, I don't have to listen to that guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, maybe he doesn't, but God does. And a lot of times when I may be saying something, and I don't know what I'm really trying to get you to do, but you hear the Lord speaking to you, it'd be a whole lot safer to obey, wouldn't it? I've said this about my kids. It's a whole lot better to obey me when I'm wrong than to disobey me. As long as I'm not asking you to do something that's non-scriptural, amen. Because most of the time, I am older than you and had more experience. Look at my son. So it is safest to obey. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Wouldn't you like to be able to resist the devil and him flee from you? It says submit first. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Every one of the laws of the land, you got to obey, as long as it's not against the Bible. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We gotta obey the law. Is it right for a Christian to ever riot? Burn down buildings, throw over cars? Never. Nope. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Why? God resisteth the proud, but he always gives grace to the humble. Alright, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to have to deal with the attitude that you have towards authority. And a lot of 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old adults still have a bad attitude about authority. You are not going to tell me what to do. You know what you're saying? God, you are not going to tell me what to do. That's what you're saying. Because your authority is God testing you to find out whether you really will follow him. You say, well, I'll tell you this. I've told you this probably a dozen times. I would not have met my wife if it weren't for my unsaved dad. My unsaved dad. I'm a new Christian, man. I'm off to Bible college. I'm learning the Bible. I know the Word of God. I'm learning to preach. I picked up by him while I'm learning the Bible. And, you know, but I couldn't find any wife. Nobody would have me. 3 years of Bible college and I'm thinking of quitting. I got a degree after 3 years. My dad every year always said this thing. We'd meet up at Christmas or whatever, and I'd catch up with him. He says, you still going to that Bible college? He'd make fun of it. So he's got two PhDs. He's pretty intelligent. And he thought Bible college, you know, that's beneath you. You shouldn't be going to a place like that. And I loved it. And my father, when I finished my third year and I met him in summer, he says, so what are you doing? I said, I don't know. And he could sense a difference in the tone in me. I said, I don't know. I think I'll go up to the Northeast Coast, you know, and get on in the ministry. He looked at me and he says, you're finishing your fourth year. I looked at him and I wanted to give him a piece. You're not even saved, and here you are telling me going back to Bible college? I couldn't believe he was telling me that. I had gone 3 years to a Bible college. And I thought I had all I needed. I was just bitter because I didn't got what I wanted. I wanted a wife at that point, you know. He says, you're not going till you finish your fourth year. No son of mine's going to quit. I'm going, yes, dad, yeah. And it was about 2 weeks of the Lord dealing with me, and I'm sitting there going, God, he is unsafe. Why do I feel like I ought to go back when I don't want to go back? And the Lord told me, do what your dad said. He's not asking you to do something that's unbiblical. He's not asking you to do something that's going to kill you. Finish your fourth year in Bible college. Get your second degree. Right. I went back, drove up to Bible college, booked in for the year, got my dorm room, started thinking about how depressing it's going to be to go my fourth year in Bible college. drive along the side of the road. There's a girl that's on my bus route that helps me picking up kids, because we had a bus route picking up kids for church. Her name's Virginia. And I'm driving along and I see Virginia on the side. I say, "Hey, Virginia! Hey, how are you?" She's walking. She's been looking for a job, and she's got this girl with her. And I said, "Do you want to ride back to the college?" "Sure, Ken." I didn't even hear her name. "So and so, ride with us." "Yeah, sure, get in." "So, Virginia." And Virginia said, "So, you're coming back for your fourth year." I said, yeah, for fourth year, yeah. This girl gets in the back seat of my car. And I look back, she's not even noticing me. I'm not even going to notice her again. She's looking at this box of tracks I got in the back of my car, and she's going through them, you know. And I think, oh, she's probably got a boyfriend. And she's back there thinking, oh, he's probably married. You know how girl, you know how it works out. They're driving along. School starts up, I drop them off. Don't see her again until we're in college and things are going. And I run into this girl again. And I tell you what, God said, "Hello." And my heart went, "I gotta get to know this girl." Now I want to just say something real plain. God spoke to my dad. Do you understand? My dad's not a Christian. My dad doesn't read the Bible, doesn't believe the Bible. But God told him what to say to me. And I could have been a right stubborn mule and rejected it and still be miserable to this day. Amen? I just want to tell you, we need to learn how to submit when our authority is telling us and influencing our life, whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're 2 years old, you're 60 years old, and you got a 45-year-old pastor telling you what to do and telling you, stay in the fight, do this, let's keep doing that, let's follow the vision, and you're going, "But I don't want to." There is something out there God wants to bless you with, and you just got to trust God working through your authorities. Amen? Submit. Because God resists the proud, but He gives oh so much grace to and submits it to the humble. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to stop with that. We're going to stand. Let's grab our hymnal. Hymn number 164. "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," 164. I want, by the end of this month, for us to learn that as much as we want to learn to sing 164, as much as we want to sing and be a blessing in our singing, as much as I want to learn how to speak and be an encouragement to one another and be a blessing to people that I come in contact with, blessing to my family, as much as I want to learn how to be thankful about everything, I want us all to really be practicing humbling ourselves and submitting. Not because the other person is always right. You listening? Because sometimes you're going to be wrong. But because God will bless through your authorities, and you're missing out on something when you're fighting your authority. Because who are you ultimately fighting? Somebody talk to me. You're fighting God. And I don't think you want that. It's unprofitable for you, Hebrews says. So if you want to be filled with the Spirit, you need to practice biting your tongue. Practice loosening your neck. Amen. Instead of being so stiff. You need to practice just being a blessing. Let's sing 164. And let's ask God to fill us. Amen. "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew. That I may love what Thou dost love. And do what Thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure. Until with Thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God. read on it. Let's pray. Father, we're in the 21st century, Lord. We're struggling to try to figure out how to make sense of our lives and how to cope and how to get through life. And here you are telling us to stop and seems like to go backwards, to actually start thanking people and actually start caring about what we say more than what we do, because what we say is an indicator of what we're going to do. Lord, here you are trying to bring us back to where we're soft again. And it's going to be hard, because this flesh has been used to running things. This mouth has been used to running and cutting and being in charge. And it's going to be hard getting under control. The only song so many people know are sung by Britney Spears and by the top 10, and we don't know the songs of Zion. Our houses are places that are war zones because there's no praise in that place. We don't know how to just sit around the table and go, man, God is so good. Look at the miracles at this table. Lord, we need to really get tired of where we're at and hunger for what you are offering. Hunger, something more. And we need to do it without any flash, any show, but only humility and only brokenness. Where you confess, Lord, we missed your plan. Father, I do want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to stay filled. And we need to practice these things. We need to practice. What I say, what I sing, how I think, and how I yield. If I can yield to my earthly authority, I'll be able to yield to Thee. And you'll be able to have full control, Lord, because it is You who put me under those authorities. I may not like them, but there's a lot of blessing when I learn to surrender my will to yours and allow you to change me where I'm at instead of where I want to be. So these big thoughts and big concepts, Lord, I pray that they would be true in everybody's heart. I pray that people got some strong truth tonight. Every teenager in this room would just value their home and their parents as gifts from God. Every man would look at his wife and realize, God is asking this woman to follow me, and I am unworthy. Oh God, please help me to follow you. Help me to submit to you. Help me to learn to earn the right to be followed and submitted to. But even before that takes place, oh, that the woman would pray, God, teach me how to submit. Even when my husband and my authorities are not worthy, help me to do it because that's where you are. Lord, we had a big word tonight. I wish it wouldn't end. I wish we could just really get around this thing, but let us take away something tonight. You give grace to the humble. There, that word is big. That's what saved us. For by grace are you saved. If it could save our wretched soul, it can change our hard hearts if we yield. So bless us as we go home. Thank you for this wonderful family of believers. Lord, may we just practice in our car, at home, these four things, and we'll find out what it's like to be walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and find out, Lord, how fun it is. And how much power there is in living by the fullness of the Spirit. This world needs to see some Spirit-filled Christians tomorrow. I pray that it'd be overwhelmed by just 40 people shining bright tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Amen. Oh. whole amen. No, amen. You're a blessing.